I'm Maria Dudzak, and as we know, food insecurity is an issue that is being talked about more and more. And this morning, we are going to have a conversation about that. Joining me by phone, there it is, find the phone. Joining me by phone is Rachel Breithaupt, who is with the Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center. And in the studio, we have Bobby McCreary, who is representing the Presbyterian Church Pantry. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
And Rachel, I understand maybe you could start things off with a little discussion or information about food insecurity.
So, I mean, Feeding America, which is a major nonprofit in the United States, defines food insecurity as a lack of consistent access to enough food for every person in a household to live an active, healthy life. It can be a temporary situation or it can last for a long time. And food insecurity is one way we can measure how many people cannot afford food. So I think it's important to establish that the term food insecurity is not a new one, and it's being used by major nonprofits, by government agencies. And I think it's important to acknowledge that there are that there is a specific definition, and I wanted to read that one first. But I'd also like to expand a little bit on that because of my work as a social worker. Across just so much of the population of this island. And I would say that I regularly have conversations with patients about financial insecurity. And one of the things that I bring up is the cost of food. And I say, frequently people will ask, does Peace Health offer rental assistance, or can you help me access utility assistance? And they're going to shut off my phone. And there are a variety of nonprofits that I can help people apply for funding from for those specific things. But a conversation we regularly come back to is, how can we move money around? How can we free money up in your budget to pay your rent, or to pay your utility bill, to pay your phone bill, to begin to pay down your credit card debt? Where can we cut, or how can we move money around? And it readily and regularly comes back to food. So the vast majority of the people I work with have never accessed a food pantry. Maybe they've even applied for food stamps and they've been denied. But perhaps they have food stamps. And so they say, I don't need it, or it's for people who are worse off than me. So that's this whole gray area of individuals. So if you're a person who has a credit card that can be swiped at the grocery store, and you have a car that can get you to the grocery store, and so you can bring that food that you've purchased on credit home to your house, you don't necessarily readily fit into the Feeding America definition of food insecurity. But I would argue, if you are financially insecure, that very easily can translate into food insecure. And it really just matters what part of the budget are we looking at? You know, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul kind of thing. So if you can't pay your credit card off at the end of the month, then, yeah, you have access to food on debt that is paralyzing for huge numbers of Americans. If you don't have an emergency fund, so if something happens where you can't work, or your car breaks, or you have a house fire, or something that isn't covered by insurance, some medical condition, all of a sudden, you're just regular, you know, your financial insecurity is now through the roof. So I just feel like if we can broaden our horizons around what food insecurity actually means, and we can encourage people who would not necessarily think that they should access that. Well, I work full time and I don't qualify for food stamps, and other people need it more than me. Yeah, but if you can't pay your credit card off at the end of the month, you're financially insecure. If you have no emergency fund for the million things that can happen to any of us, you're financially insecure. And if you're financially insecure, then that food insecurity falls under financial insecurity. It's just that it's, you know, not the first thing you're gonna cut. You'll let the car languish and not get it fixed, you know. and you'll build up the credit card debt.
Right. I want to say what you're saying makes so much sense because, especially I think with the American culture, it's, oh, just put it on your credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And not thinking about
that's money.
Yeah.
It's not money. It's not money. It's debt. It's a weight around your neck. And if you're willing to let go of whatever ego is stopping you from doing it, if you're willing to go access a food bank, the amount of food bank accessible food in this community, I've had conversations with the leader of every food bank we've got and gotten lists. I've, for my own family, used the Love in Action food commodities before. You could absolutely offset your food costs by 70% a month. I mean, that might actually be a low number. I mean, there's huge resources available, and it's not being accessed by middle-class Ketchikan, because middle-class Ketchikan is like, yeah, but I can just put it on the credit card. Except that is not actually a long-term solution.
Did you have something you wanted to say, Bobby?
Well, Rachel, thank you so much. And actually, you're the one that got me started on this because you came in, excuse me, that one day when the SNAP benefits had been increased. So I have also, like you, contacted people across the community and find that even the people providing food banks aren't really clear about the serious situation we have for those people who have never asked for help before and who have pride and are concerned about asking, and find when they do ask that many of the programs have low income standards criteria and they're not eligible. In the last week, I've talked with three different people that said they've called everywhere and they didn't find anybody that could help them. And we do have information that refutes that. But it's still a problem. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to do it. So, Rachel, you can add to that, or I'll kind of branch off and tell you what you got started for us at the church.
Well, yeah, I do just want to say, I think it's tricky to say that, you know, I'm not here to argue with somebody if they said we've called everywhere and there's nothing for us. So I don't know that person's or those people's personal experience. I can only speak to my personal experience. Last year, we just had a slew of bills one month, and things were really, really tight. And I called, or I emailed over to Lisa at Love in Action. I mean, we have 2 full-time employed adults in my home. You know, I mean, we have 2 kids we're sending to daycare. God knows that's expensive. But I mean to say that I'm not a single parent. Like, there are people struggling far more than me, and I know that. And it was a month where things were so tight. I just finally decided I'm just going to reach out and see if I'm allowed. Am I allowed? Is middle class me allowed to come and access this resource? And I emailed Lisa with Love in Action about the food commodities giveaway. It's once a month, and she said absolutely. Absolutely, you're allowed. There's no financials required. So I went, I got in line, I felt nervous. I was glad that I had my mask on because I knew that I was blushing. I had all those yucky feelings. I shouldn't be here. What if people see me here? I don't deserve this. Other people need this more than me. I had all those feelings. And I got to the front, and Lisa asked for my name. She asked how many people were in my house. That's all she asked me. She didn't ask for proof of finances, nothing like that. She didn't ask me if I was approved for food stamps or Medicaid. She didn't ask me any of those questions. She asked me what my name was and how many people were in my house. And then those volunteers, I might cry right now, those volunteers loaded me up with so many bags, I couldn't get them to the car. And they were so kind. They were just joyfully glad to be helping. Nobody made me feel bad. Everybody made me feel like they were just so happy to be doing me this favor, like as if I was doing them a favor for letting them help me. I took that home, and I mean, we still have shelf-stable items from that benefit, from from going there that day. So I just, that is not my experience, that you would be rejected for financial reasons. And I've emailed with the Salvation Army leadership. They also don't have financial disclosure requirements. They do ask you to sign up to get like a punch card so that they are monitoring how many times a family comes back, but it's not required, or your financial statement is not required to get the card. It's basically just signing up for a program. So I don't know what those folks' experience was, and once again, I'm not trying to belittle or demean it, but I've just to say that was my experience.
So, Rachel, you mentioned, too, the Salvation Army and Love in Action, and I understand there are actually quite a few other resources available. So maybe, Bobby, Rachel, you could,
sure,
one or both of you, go through, like, each of the places that are available and what is required, or if there are requirements, or anyone is welcome.
Sure.
Bobby, I think you've got a list.
The Wellness Coalition has a good job of trying to get all of this current information onto their 123 program. So the form that I have in front of me comes from their efforts. And, of course, the First City homeless people just moved into a new building on Park Avenue, so their service is available at a new address. Rachel has commented about her experience, and I think that experience is particularly with the federal food commodities availability, and I'm really pleased to see that she had that experience. What we have found at the Presbyterian Church over all these years, I mean over 20 years, there's been a food pantry on Fridays, is that we are able to give fresh food that is being donated through Safeway, through Wolf Point Produce, et cetera, to people that come for it. And yet, just as you mentioned, Rachel, there's a lot of people that just feel that they can't do that. They're uncomfortable. I spoke with somebody who had come in the last couple of months. And after we had a nice chat about what we were doing and she went to leave, she had tears in her eyes and she said, "You don't know how much it helped my husband and I and our kids to be able to come to this food pantry and get the support." However, most of the people who are coming then for us, for the Presbyterian Church, are receiving what's available on that Friday, what's been donated. And they aren't some of the people that I've chatted with. So when the America Rescue Plan put out a grant for nonprofits, including churches, we applied and we received money that we've used to purchase non-perishable goods for both the Metlakatla Presbyterian Church and the Ketchikan Presbyterian Church. So the food closet and the food pantry have a broader range of food available. We also then applied for the Ketchikan Community Foundation grant and asked for $2,000 because that's usually what they give. And then they gave us $5,000. And so at that point, I said, we would really like to emphasize reaching out to the part of the community that isn't currently being served with this money. And we are now working with the Methodist Church to open up their original food pantry source that served Love in Action years ago, I understand. And people will be able to call, set an appointment, and come privately to pick up food that will help them and their family. And then going back to what's available in other places, it's interesting because I have heard from providers that there can be an income cutoff. So I think that may vary according to the situation. But I do want to give kudos to Wish, who is putting out 50 to 60 boxes of food each week for people without any particular criteria to meet. And as you know, there are hot meals available. Some of them are still under COVID ramifications. Southeast Senior Center is still not serving food in a communal setting. So anyway, we will be continuing to work and coordinate with all these different resources to see if we can reach some people who might have been embarrassed to ask for help, and we'll find a place for that.
Okay, and we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything more that either of you would like to add just in closing?
Yeah, I will. In order to meet what we said we would do for the America Rescue Plan, we are reaching out in a lot of different ways to help people get out of what we call the COVID haze. We will be having 1-hour workshops, both in the evening or during the day, so we can meet people's needs. Rachel will be doing one that she was talking about balancing your budget and so forth. We'll have cooking tips. We'll have how to use Zoom and be able to talk to people. So our church is just trying to find a way to help people in our community reach out to others and be served.
Okay, and it also sounds like that the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, they have that resource, which is
123,
mm-hmm. That is, I believe, both online, or they have some paper copies as well.
Yes.
And again, the Wellness Coalition is a good source for finding out where some of those food pantries and meal availabilities are. Rachel, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, if you're a patient of Peace Health, I'm the social worker at Peace Health. Even if you're not a patient of Peace Health, you can just call me. My work number is 907-228-8106. And if anybody wants to call and talk through any of this or other resources they'd like to access, please give me a call. That's my whole gig, is helping people get hooked up with programs to support them.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining me. And again, if you have questions, you can contact the various organizations. And again, Rachel Breithaupt and also Bobby McCreary would be happy to help you to guide you wherever you may need to be.